as we see that Lord help me. All of my effort to be eloquent just went out the window. I don't know why that happens. Let's pause. Let's ask God to lead through this. Pray together with me. Ask God to speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, we come to you. Lord, I need you to guide my thoughts. I need your help, Lord, to present the truths of this message. And Lord, I believe we're covering this morning some vital things, some things that are crucial for the believers here. They're of utmost importance for those that are here this morning that may not have answered the call to be a Christian. Dear God, I pray that you would not give me eloquence, but I pray you'd give me utterance that I might speak the truth. That the people under the sound of my voice this morning would hear not from Caleb Bottrell, but from heaven. They'd be challenged and strengthened, encouraged and moved. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a clear admonition in the Word of God that we as Christians are to be soldiers. He tells us, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a soldier of Jesus Christ." Are you with me? That is what we're called to be, as soldiers of Jesus Christ. He says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." These men and women have stood down through the ages in the face of immense opposition to hold high the cross of Jesus Christ. They've endured the most inhumane treatment. Believable. They've stood in the face of all types of false and erroneous teachings. My family and I are right now reading the story of a man in Bulgaria. Harlan, what's his last name, hon? Popov. Harlan was a pastor of a church in Bulgaria when the communist regime came in and took control of the country. They said that in his story, that his account that he gives, that they were very nice at first, very cordial. They were very respectful. They came in and they were going to provide everything for everybody. And it was going to be, there was going to be plenty of food everywhere. And it was all great. There was talk of success as a country and people were excited. But him being a Christian and understanding the truths of the Word of God knew this wasn't true. And him and his church began to work fervently to see people saved and to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, because he knew his days were numbered. Once the communist regime gained power, they literally killed anybody that was any opposition to them. They were not tolerant. They did not accept their beliefs. They did not sit down and talk about it. Once they were in control, they killed them. Let that be a warning to America. With the direction that our country is going right now, they killed him. They knocked on his door one night, about in the middle of the night. When they opened the door, soldiers came in and they tore the house all apart, destroyed everything. Not, they were looking for something, but what they were doing is just destroying his house just because. They said, "We want to take you down and we want to question you for a little bit." They took him down to the police station, and in his book he says that quick trip to the police station turned into 13 years of daily being beaten and starved to death. They put him on a ration of 2 pieces of bread and 6 tablespoons of dirty water every 24 hours, scientifically just enough to keep him alive. I'm not saying for a week or two. They had him on this diet in the first stretch for 18 months. He tells a story of a time when they took him into a room and put him up against a white wall. He had to face this white wall within 8 inches of the white wall and stared at it. He couldn't blink. He couldn't close his eyes. He couldn't relax. He couldn't change his weight from one leg to the other. If he twitched or moved, they would beat him with a stick. You turn the page, and the top of the next page says, "On day number 4, I collapsed. They proceeded to beat me and kick me and force me to stand again." Every time he moved, every time he collapsed, he was beaten. 3 men took 8-hour shifts and questioned him 24 hours a day in loud, abusive language, nonstop. Turn the page, the top of the next page says, "On day number 10, he lasted 14 days, nonstop interrogation, because he was a Christian, because he loved Jesus. 14 days on next to nothing to eat or drink, standing, being beaten. When he finally collapsed and they could no longer get a response out of him, they called the doctors in, and the doctors brought him back to life, threw him in a cell, and the torture continued for 13 years. There are men like this who have been tortured, beaten, and suffered because they were called Christians. Because they love Jesus Christ. I want you to understand, we live in America and we live in a free country, and we get the joy of worshiping today in this type of atmosphere because of the sacrifice that was paid. But you know today that it's not this way everywhere in the world. There is people being tortured for their faith, being killed for their faith, being beaten for their faith all around the world today in other countries. Just as many would ridicule and mock those who have gone to war for our country. And those type of people ought to be horsewhipped. When somebody goes and gives of their self and their sacrifice to go, and these soldiers come home and they aren't treated with love and respect, just as many would make fun of those soldiers, many mock the Christian who would stand for God. The name Christian today is weak. It's a title that no longer stands for what it once did. Today, it is an expression that covers every kind of idea, from straight up paganism to the real, relevant truth revealed to us in the Word of God. The name Christian has come to cover rationalism, modernism, and frothy sentimentality. It's ascribed to those who in some instances is out and out worldliness, and to others who have nothing but cold, ritualistic formalism. The title Christian has come to mean less and less. But if we remember these Christians who have gone before us, and maybe this morning God would be calling you to take up the name of a Christian. Maybe you haven't answered that call yet. If there was a recruiting poster, or if there was a pamphlet that was handed to you by somebody that would say, "To be a Christian, sign up today," what would it say? Let me tell you, the first thing that it would say is, to become a Christian, you must be saved. You must be saved. Do you understand that being a Christian doesn't happen because you go to a church? That you don't become a Christian just because you read the Bible. You don't become a Christian just because you have some good virtues and you do some good things. You don't become a Christian because mom and dad were Christians. You don't become a Christian because you just in your mind have always thought of yourself as a Christian. No matter what you think, you're not a Christian unless there's been a day and an hour where you realized you were a sinner before an almighty God. You understood the fact that you were in danger of the judgment and that you needed a Savior. And you bowed your head in faith, trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have received the payment provided for you by Christ's death. Listen, if you could be a Christian just by going to church, why did Jesus die on a cross? If you could be a Christian just by doing some good things or giving to charity or just deciding in your mind, I'm a Christian, why did God send His Son and why did Jesus hang and die on a cross for you? He did it that you would believe and trust in His payment for your sin. You have got to understand, listen, today, in today's world of self-promotion and self-esteem and lifting everybody up, there's people that literally do not think they're a sinner. That is mind-boggling. What it is they have no concept of God and right and wrong. There is right and wrong. Regardless of new math, if 2 plus 2 doesn't equal 4, then the answer is wrong. There is right and wrong. And who establishes right and wrong? Is it me? Is it you? Who is it that determines what's right? Help me. God. God has said, thou shalt not bear false witness. If you've ever in your life told a falsehood, however minute, you're a liar. And that makes you a sinner. We need to acknowledge the fact that we're sinners. Jesus Christ came to pay the penalty for us. We receive the payment that He gave us by accepting His death on the cross. John 1:12 says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. You can become the Son of God by receiving Him. You become a Christian by putting your faith in Jesus. Not by going to church, not by spending time in the Bible every day. These are good things. Not by getting baptized, not by just thinking you're a Christian. You become a Christian by faith in Jesus. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 26 says, for ye are all the children of God. You see, the world likes to stop there. Oh, we're all God's children. But that verse doesn't stop there. The verse says, ye become the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You become a child of God. You become a Christian. There is a day, an hour, a time in your life where you became a Christian. If your testimony of when you became a Christian is, I've just always been a Christian. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that we are born of our father, the devil. There has to be a time where you change parents, where you change teams. You get off of the devil's team and you sign up on God's team by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Paul said, I testify both to the Jew and also to the Greek, repentance towards God and faith towards Jesus Christ. One must repent of their sin and ask God forgiveness and put their faith and trust in Jesus. Listen, that's good news. You ought to be excited that Jesus paid the penalty for us and all it takes is trusting in Him and Him alone. At least two people agree. Some apply the term Christian to all those who have high moral standards, or if they just believe in the existence of God, they would claim to be a Christian. Or if they happen to be a member of a church, they're a Christian. But there has to be a time when you became a Christian by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Listen, if you haven't done that yet, today can be the day. Today can be the day where the call goes out to you to become a Christian. Then I wonder this morning what other people think we are. As Christians, if you are a Christian, if you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner and needed His forgiveness of that sin in order to go to heaven and be forgiven, I'll tell you what, if you've done that, I wonder what would other people say you are? You see, people say, well, I'm a Christian. That is what we think of ourselves. But I wonder what your neighbors think. I wonder what the people that read your Facebook page think about you. Would they, the people that know you, would they say, this person's a Christian? This man's a Christian. This lady's a Christian. Is there some things in your life that portray that fact? Is there evidence of Christ in your life? There's got to be a time that we become a Christian. And if we are Christians, then we've got to act like Christians. And somebody that's going to act like a Christian is going to be surrendered to God. To become a Christian, you need to be saved. To act like a Christian, you need to be surrendered. You see, we can't just say, oh, I'm a Christian, and then just do whatever we want. The fact of the matter is there is some things that are expected of a Christian, right? Amen? Are you guys awake? Amen. There are some things that are expected of a Christian. And if we're going to be a Christian, we are going to surrender to what God wants. You know, when you sign up for boot camp, they take you on the bus and they bring you into where their training center is and they bring you into the office the first day and they say, would you like to sit down or stand up? Oh, you want to stand up? Okay. What would you like to experience at boot camp? Okay. What's your favorite meal that you want to have? Tell me what that's what you would like to eat? Okay, well, we'll be sure you get that every day. What's a good wake-up time for you? Okay, yeah, we'll wake up at that time. Any special things you would cry? Is that what they do? No. No. I was talking to Abe, and when on our trip, we stopped and saw him on our way down to Florida, and we couldn't quite get to where he was, so he came to where we were. So we spent the afternoon together, and he says, I got to get back. He said, the U.S. government wants their property back. He's been through boot camp. He's got it settled. He does not belong to himself anymore. In his mind, he says, I belong to the U.S. government. Listen, when we're Christians, you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Jesus Christ died and paid a price for you. You're not your own, and there's some things that are expected of you as a Christian. How many of you understand that there are some soldiers, some men and women in the armed forces who don't act like the position that they hold? They actually have a charge that you can be charged with. It's called conduct unbecoming. You can be charged with conduct unbecoming of a soldier of the U.S. Army or of the Marines or of an officer because there's an expectation as a soldier you're going to behave and act in a certain way. And if you don't, you'll be charged with conduct unbecoming. I wonder how many Christians are going to be charged with conduct unbecoming. As a Christian, we yield our will to God and do what God wants us to do. You understand that the new birth in Jesus Christ, becoming a Christian, does not necessarily make you into immediately all of what you should be. You know the old saying, I praise God, I'm not what I was, but I'm not what I want to be because God's still working on me. It doesn't happen just immediately. You don't become a Christian and all of a sudden everything's taken care of and you're all that you should be. It's a process of surrendering day by day our will to the Father and doing what He wants us to do. A Christian means Christ-like. If we look at Christ, Christ yielded His will to the Father. What did He say? Not my will, but thine be done. That's what we need to say, Christian. Not my will, but thine be done. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. He wanted to do the will of his Father. Christian, do you want to do the will of the Father? Do you desire that? Are you willing to surrender and give up those things that you hold on to? Or do you have your list you want to turn in to the sergeant? Say, this is what I want for tomorrow. No, we're Christians. We don't get to turn in our list. We say, let thine will be done. You know, the first step of surrender is baptism. As a believer, you get saved, you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the first thing is baptism. You get baptized. You follow the Lord in believer's baptism. That's the first step of obedience after salvation. Now, it's a very simple thing. There's no saving grace in the water. There's nothing really difficult or hard about getting baptized, but it's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's an identification. You identify with Christ, and you're telling everybody publicly, those things are old, these things are new, my old life is gone, I'm following Christ now. Like the disciples, he says, hey, follow me. And they dropped their nets, and they followed Christ. And they became known as Christians because they were a follower of Christ. Listen, you say you're a Christian, and yet it's hard to take that one step of obedience. Baptism. Identifying with Christ. It shouldn't be that hard, should it? Folks, I need some help. It shouldn't be that hard, should it? No, it shouldn't be that hard. It would be like this. It would be like me telling my wife, listen, now I know we're married, but I don't want anybody to know. I'm not going to wear my ring. And when we're in public, don't stand too close because I don't want people to know we're married. That's not going to fly, is it? No, and Jesus Christ says, now that I've saved your soul, I've forgiven you of your sin, I'm going to take you to heaven when you die, I want you to identify publicly with me through baptism. And they say, oh, I can't do that, Pastor. Not very Christ-like. Follow the Lord in baptism. The next step is commitment to obey the commands of God. What does Christ say? He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. A commitment to follow the will of God. Christian, there's too many of us just doing what we want to do with no regard for God's will, with no regard for what the Lord would like. If we are Christians, and by our testimony, if somebody asks you, yeah, I'm a Christian, then I ask you, have you been saved? Are you surrendered to what God's will is for your life and doing the will of God day by day? Putting your own desires aside. Putting your own ambitions aside. Surrendering to Christ. Obeying His commands. One's commitment to God is evident every day in how well we surrender. Some Christians are MIA. They've jumped ship. They're a Christian, but they're nowhere to be seen. Is it possible for people who know you to see features and characteristics in your life that resemble Christ? If we're going to act like a Christian, if we're going to live like a Christian, then we're going to serve. We're going to serve. You see, we're being Christ-like. So let's look back at Christ and see what he said in John 5:17. He said, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. He said, my Father worked, and I have a work to do. In John 9, verse number 4, he says, I must work the works of him that sent me. Well, it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. He had a task to do. He was willing and wanting to serve. And if we're going to be like Christ, we're going to be serving the Savior in some capacity, in any and every capacity that we are able to. If we're going to act like a Christian, we're going to serve the Father, just as Jesus did, serving the Father. Somebody wrote this, and I've edited it a little bit to take out, so it's not quite so long, but the author is unknown. This is a definition of a Christian. A Christian is born of God, engrafted into Christ, and inhabited by the Holy Spirit. His nature is renewed, his mind is illuminated, and his spirit is changed. He is not what he was, for grace hath made a difference in him. He's not what he desires to be, for grace is not yet perfected in him. And he's not what he shall be, for he is still this side of glory. The knowledge of Christ is his treasure. The mind of Christ is his pursuit. The love of Christ is his song. And conformity to Christ is his life. And to be with Christ is his desire. Amen. By faith he trusted in Christ, and by faith he follows Christ. He speaks the language of the Savior. He follows God's laws. He wears God's uniform, and he lives for God's glory. He is Christ's representative on earth. He witnesses before men, and he is a follower before God. The Christian is in the world, but not of it. Among the world, yet separate from it, passing through the world, but without an attachment to it. The Christian is a man. He may err. He may have imperfections. He may sin. But he is renewed as a warrior, as he must fight, because he is a conqueror, for greater is he that is in him than he that is in the world. His pedigree is from Jehovah, his nature is from heaven, and his name is from Antioch. They were called Christians first at Antioch. How about you this morning? Are you a Christian? Have you answered the call? Do you know for sure that you've trusted Jesus Christ, that there's been a day, an hour you could look at and say, here is when I became a Christian? Don't leave here today without knowing that. If you know that, can I ask you, what is your conduct? Is it becoming of a Christian? Are we honoring those that have gone before us who have suffered and died to bear the name of Jesus? To bear the name Christian? Or do we take it flippantly and disregard it and live our lives for ourselves? It's possible that Christianity is failing to make a distinct impact on our country because of our failure to understand what it means to be a Christian. It is possible for one to be the Christian that we should be. It is possible, but not in ourselves. We can't live the kind of surrendered life that God would want us to, and we can't serve as faithfully as God would want us to. But the thrilling thing about salvation is, at the moment of salvation, you get the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the Holy Spirit will empower you to do that which you thought you couldn't do. Yes, he is a comforter, but he is also our teacher. And he produces in us that miraculous thing called the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Genuine Christianity is more than just gathering in a church, in an air-conditioned facility, and sitting on padded pews and listening to a sweet sermon. Christianity is taking up your cross, being a soldier for Jesus Christ, saved, surrendered, and serving our Lord while we have the opportunity to do so. How are you carrying the name of Christian today? Would you stand with me with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? Dear God, I pray you'd be with each and every heart here. I pray, Lord, that we would be motivated to honor and love and respect those that have gone before, both in our country and those Christians who have suffered and died to hold high the cross of Jesus Christ. Now we have the privilege of bearing the name of Christian, and I pray, Lord, that we would do it justice. Help us where we fail you, where we falter and fall short. Give us strength to stand boldly in a wicked day. Lord, may our church be a lighthouse in this community, and may each and every member be a Christian that surrendered in serving you while there is light, for the night cometh. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.